Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here. Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here and what you are after.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم Dear viewers of Madni Channel, welcome back to YOLO. You only live twice. Today we've got another fascinating and amazing topic for you that you will truly find really heartwarming, and you will learn about a hasti, a personality who was truly amazing and grand, had a great status right from the beginning, and will have a great return at the end as well. Before we go there, let me start with a blessing of Durood e Pak. Now, a lot of people on the Day of Judgment will wish and hope for the intercession of somebody to help them. And we learn from the glorious Quran, the Hadith of Mubarak, and what the scholars tell us, that different people will intercede. A Hafiz of Quran will intercede for people. Certain scholars and Walis of Allah will intercede. The prophets will intercede for certain people as well. But how fortunate are those people for whom the best of creation, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, will intercede in the court of Allah azza wa jalla. They are truly blessed. Now with that in mind, listen to this beautiful hadith of Mubarak. Whoever recites Durood e Pak upon me 10 times during the day and 10 times at night, I will intercede for him on the Day of Judgment. Now how long does it take to recite Durood e Pak 10 times? Maybe 20 seconds, 30 seconds? But if we make it a habit, at least 10 times in the morning, 10 times in the evening, with the hope and aspiration that my deeds will not get me anywhere, but this recitation of Durood e Pak may lead to the intercession of the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the court of Allah azza wa jal, on the day that it will be a day of great difficulty. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we're on a journey of the soul, and we covered how the soul comes into this world and what happens in the grave, and then there's a wait till the Day of Judgment, and then we covered what will happen and the events, the minor signs of the Day of Judgment, and then we started the major signs, and we discussed Hazrat Imam Mahdi, and then we discussed the deceiver. Today there is another personality in this story, and what an amazing personality this is. From the time that Allah Azza wa Jal created the worlds, Allah Azza wa Jal introduced a system for human beings to come into this world. But this personality defied all systems. Allah Azza wa Jal created Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, our personality for today, in a completely different way. That is our topic. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here. Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here and what you are after and what you are after.
Now there are approximately 124,000 messengers of Allah Azza wa Jal who've blessed this world. Somebody who was very special, and one who gave glad tidings of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, told his ummah that after me there will come this great Nabi, this great Rasul by the name of Ahmad. And he gave the glad tidings of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and called him the Comforter. Now, today we're going to talk about Isa alayhi salam and this amazing personality. We know that his arrival into this world was something truly amazing. We know that the time he spent in this world was magnificent.
The name of this blessed prophet is Isa, and he is the son of Maryam. A few of his titles are Kalimatullah, Masih, Wajih, and Muqarrab, as well as Salih. And his lifestyle was an amazing lifestyle. Everyone can take something from that lifestyle and try to implement it in their lives. And the mother of Sayyidina Isa, ala nabiyyina alayhi salatu wasalam, Sayyida Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she was a saint from birth.
So
in Urdu we say Madar Zad Wali. So from the day she was born, she was one of the pious and closest people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions in Jami' al-Tirmidhi as well, this hadith is mentioned in there, that khayrun nisa'il a'lamina arba'un, that there are four best women out of the entire universe. Number one, Maryam bintu Imran. That's the first one is Maryam, the daughter of Imran. Wa Asiya imra'ul Fir'aun. And the second best out of the whole creation was Sayyida Asiya, who was the wife of Fir'aun.
Allahu Akbar.
The stepmother of Sayyida Musa. Khatija bintu Khuwaylid, the daughter of Khuwaylid. And Fatima bintu Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Sayyida Fatima, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And as well as this, in regards to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Kanzul Ummal, this hadith book has been mentioned, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I am the dua of my father Sayyidina Ibrahim. And at the end, Sayyidina Isa ibn Maryam was the one who gave me glad tidings of my arrival. So this was from the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we find many other ahadith in praise and in gratitude of Sayyida Isa alayhi salatu wasalam as well.
The mother of Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala has said that, Ya Allah, I will give my child in servitude to you. And then when she was born, she said that a daughter has been born. And you've got to remember, obviously, that era was a very difficult era, especially where daughters didn't take that sort of lead role. So she said that, Ya Allah, I've been blessed with a daughter, so what happens now? And then, alhamdulillah, she was placed in, was it Bayt al-Maqdis? Mm-hmm. And then I think there was some lots that were filed to try and see who would take care of her in Bayt al-Maqdis. And Hazrat Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam got this duty. And then there's the famous ayah mubarak of the Quran, isn't there? That Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam used to come to Bisharat Bay, the mihrab, the room that she was in, and he used to find fresh fruit. And he asked, where has this fruit come from?
And it came directly from paradise.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
I mean, alhamdulillah, look at in terms of Maryam radiallahu anha. She's the only woman that's been mentioned in the Holy Quran.
Allahu Akbar.
And alhamdulillah azza wa jal, not only that, Allah Hazrat even further goes on to mention that she will be raised pure as well, and she will enter Jannatul Na'im pure, and then she will be privileged to have her nikah done with the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well.
Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. An amazing status, Sayyidina Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha. And she was truly, you know, the background of how she was there in Mihrab. And when she was there, Habibay, and Sayyidina Zakariya ala Nabiyyina Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sees the fruit, he teaches us a very important lesson there as well, doesn't he? Because he is quite elderly, and he sees that Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed Hazrat Sayyidina Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha with this fruit, and he makes a dua there for a pious child. And Allah Azza wa Jal blesses him as well. And the signs whether he couldn't speak to people for 3 days. And this was the great Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam. But coming back to the mother. Now, the reason I wanted to emphasize this is we are going to be talking about Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. But you know, like the lineage of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can be stretched all the way back, and all the pious people that were in the lineage of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. If one looks back at the great Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, their mother was an amazing waliya of Allah, surrounded by saintly miracles. Their mother was looked after by a great Nabi of Allah, Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam. And then the glorious Quran mentions all the waqiyah up to there.
Sayyidina Jibreel said to her that you're going to be having a child. And she said that this is not possible.
No man has ever touched me.
And then Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu salam blew towards Sayyidina Maryam, and that is when she fell pregnant. That whole scenario has been captured beautifully in the Holy Quran by the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also in regards to what you mentioned before about when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam built the Kaaba, and at that time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he mentions this, can be found in Imam Ahmad's Musnad of Imam Ahmad, that the Prophet ﷺ said that da'watu abi Ibrahim, that I am the dua of Ibrahim, wa bushra Isa, and the glad tidings of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. That when Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam built the Kaaba, he made this dua that, oh my Lord, make from them prophets. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam came as the last prophet of Israel. So he was the last prophet of Israel. He delivered a sermon, and in which he mentioned that he himself said that I am the last of the prophethood that has come amongst the Israeli people. And the last prophet of all from the whole universe, he will be from the people of the Arabs. And his name will be Ahmad. So this was presented by Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam.
Because Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam ala nabiyyina salatu wasalam had two sons. There was Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam and Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam. And all of the Nabis and of the Bani Israel came from Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam, and they were very blessed a lineage. But then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came from Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, who was the son that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was sacrificing on the plains of Mina, when the great sacrifice took place. That is truly amazing, and this is the background to these the amazing hastis that we're talking about. Just coming back to something you said about the name of Sayyidina Maryam radiallahu ta'ala mentioned in the glorious Quran, and no doubt that is a great privilege, but there was just something that came to mind there, that look at the amazing Quran, because there was a certain set of people who were saying that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is the son of Allah Azza wa Jal. So time and time again, the glorious Quran said, Isa ibn Maryam, Isa ibn Maryam. But if you stand back and look at the glorious Quran, maintaining the dignity and the great status of women, Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala gives birth to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. Now she's now confused. She's thinking, how do I go back to my people with this child? And she's ordered to go back to them. And I wanted to pick it up there, because she goes back and the people start to question her. Now, Habiba, I wanted you to take us through that part, because something truly amazing happens there, which never has happened before at all in the creation of, where at that tender age, we know that the Nabis of Allah Azza wa Jal, the Rasuls of Allah Azza wa Jal, and Nabis from, before they come into this world. But at that stage, something truly miraculous happens. Help us with that. What happens? Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala comes back to the people. They're questioning her and they're saying, what is this? Your mother wasn't like this, your father wasn't, or your brother wasn't like this. What have you done here? What did she do?
First of all, it's been mentioned in the Muslim Imam Ahmad as well that the Prophet ﷺ, he says that مَا مِن مَوْلُودٍ إِلَّا وَشَيْطَانٍ يَمُسُّهُ حِينَ يُولِدٍ, that there is no child that is born except that the shaitan touches it when the birth is occurring. And it comes out and lets out a scream. That is why the child, when the child is born, is crying and is weeping. It's because of the touch of the shaitan. And other than Sayyidatuna Maryam and her son Isa alayhi salam, this occurred to every other child. So Sayyidina Isa and Sayyidina Maryam was free from this as well, that the shaitan did not even touch Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. And then like you mentioned, that when they went back to the people and they were confused as to what we're going to say, so it's mentioned that the miracle that was occurring there was in fact that Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he spoke, and this was a miracle that a child, which was only, you know, literally a few days old, and it was speaking from the cradle. And that is a miracle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon Sayyidina Isa, that from a young age, from a tender age of only a few days, he was showing miracles and signs of being a very noble and a pure-blooded individual.
I mean, this is something that, you know, a person might be listening now and thinking, you know, it goes beyond comprehension. We can't even think that far, that a child just a few days old will be able to speak anything. You know, and with regards to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, he speaks to the people and he tells them haq, meaning even from a tender age, you know, the Nabis of Allah Almighty alayhi salam, they're even showing miracles from that particular age. And from just being born and then they're performing these miracles, alhamdulillah azza wa jal, and inviting people towards iman from that stage as well, alhamdulillah.
The people that object and say that, you know, one of the reasons why we call Sayyidina Isa the son of God is because he had a miraculous birth. You know, like we just mentioned now, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came without a pet, without a father, he was conceived, and all of these scenarios occurred. A question to them would be that Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he was also born without a father. He was also born without even a mother. So he should have more right in that sense, that he has such a better miraculous birth, that even without a mother and a father, he came into this world. So this is also alluded towards in the Quran as well, this counter objection, and that is a answer that we can give to people as well.
So Hazrat Maryam radiallahu ta'ala brings Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, the people of the time say, what have you done here? And she points towards the child, and the Qawm, they get even more infuriated because they say, well, now we're asking for answers, you're pointing towards the child. But miraculously, Hazrat Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, Ahla Nabiyyina Salatu Wasalam, actually speaks from the cradle and says, I am a Nabi of Allah Azza wa Jal, I have been sent with a book.
In the Quran Pak and in Surah Maryam as well, I'm a slave of Allah Azza wa Jal, He's given me the book and made me the communicator of the unseen. And I am a Nabi, and He's made me blessed wherever I may be. And He's ordained upon me prayer and poor Jew as long as I live, and made me dutiful to my mother.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
And made me vigorous. Peace be upon the day I was born, and on the day I shall taste death, and on the day I will be raised alive.
Subhanallah. So this is Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, still as a baby.
Then he's delivering a bayan.
Delivering a bayan, subhanallah. And so the people at the time are absolutely mesmerized. But it's interesting actually that, you know, some people here, they say that, you know, Nabis don't become Nabis till later on, etc. And yet you've got Isa alayhi salam in the cradle saying, you know, I am a Nabi of Allah azza wa jal, and I have a book as well. And I assume the Injil Sharif was revealed later on.
Yeah.
But here, you know, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is saying that. So those people who, because of lack of knowledge, perhaps don't understand this, should sit with the learned ulama and learn this. Okay. So Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, an amazing background, an amazing birth, and then through his life, He had many, many miracles. He had his disciples, as they say, and he had many, many miracles. Now, there were some that were truly mind-boggling, because at the time, one of the incurable diseases was leprosy. But Hazrat Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam could cure leprosy. I think there was one, wasn't there, Habibay, where, I mean, even now, medical science can do certain things with the eye, but those who are born blind
can't be given
sight. And yet, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam used to cure those who were born blind. And these were just some of the miracles.
This is not just, you know, people who were illnesses. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu salam even cured, we can say, that illness that can't even be cured, which is death, by resurrecting a person that was died and that had passed away. In fact, this scenario happened 4 times in the life of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu salam. The first of them being a person who was called Azar, and he loved Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu salam so immensely, but his sister, she informed him that he was Sayyidina Isa, that he was ill. And at that time, Sayyidina Isa was roughly around about 3 days distance away from that person. And when he came, he found out that he had actually passed away. So Sayyidina Isa said to the sister that, "Take me to the grave." And when he went there, he made dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that individual, he rose from the dead and came out of his grave. And in fact, he lived for many years and even fathered many children as well. So that was one of the miracles of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam.
SubhanAllah. Glorious Quran tells us this. A lot of people, they have this misconception where they attribute certain powers only to Allah Azza wa Jal, so that when you mention that others can do this, they get confused and they start to panic. But the glorious Quran tells us that Allah Azza wa Jal gives His beloved people the powers. I mean, you know, if somebody said, well, you know, Allah Azza wa Jal creates, but there are blessed people who can create things and with the will of Allah Azza wa Jal can make them come to life. The ignorant may say, well, that can't be true. Yeah. How can that be? But we know from the great story of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam that one of the things that he would do was create beings and blow into them and they would become alive. And I think what the scholars write in Tafsir Khazain, it says that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam actually created the bat. So Allah has created millions of billions of things, but to show that He blesses His pious people, especially His Nabis, with special powers, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was the one who created and molded the bat out of clay, blew into it, and by the izn of Allah, it started to fly. And we have this bat, which is a very strange creature actually compared to the others. It's like a bird, but it doesn't look like a bird. It has all sorts of strange attributes. Those who study bats, have you seen any documentaries? You look at it and you think, well, yeah, it is amazing, but it doesn't look like anything else like you see normally. And then when you read this tafsir, you think, oh, right, okay. Because in the magnificence of the creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla, this is magnificence as well. But that beauty, you know, in the bat is in a different way, isn't it?
This all is explained in the verse of Surah Al-Ma'idah 110. In which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَإِذْ تَخْلُقُ مِنَ الْتِينِ كَحَيَّةِ الطَّيْرِ, and when He created from mud, from soil, like the shape of a bird, بِإِذْنِ فَتَنْفُخُ فِيهَا فَتَكُونُ طَيْرًا بِإِذْنِ, and He blew in it and He became a bird with my permission, with the permission of Allah. And then later on, regarding what you mentioned regarding the people who were lepers, Abras, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about them, وَإِذْ تُخْرِجُ الْمَوْتَى بِإِذْنِي, and when He took out the living of the dead and made them alive with my permission. So this was all with the permission and the ability given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what a miracle is. In Arabic, the miracle, the word that we use for miracle for a prophet is mu'jaza. And mu'jaza is that miracle that is done after announcement of prophethood. And the word mu'jaza means the thing that makes you enable to do something. And what is being enabled? The mind. The mind is being enabled to comprehend what is going on. That this piece of mud that was in front of me is just being molded into the shape of a bird, and now it was blown into it and it's become a bird. That is something that is against intellect. And like that, seeing a person that is in the grave rising from the dead, it defies intellect. So this is what a miracle is, and this is what the proof of a prophet is as well. Allah sends the prophets, and with sending the prophet, He also sends them with miracles. And every category of prophet, when they came to their nation, whatever type of people they were, so the people of Sayyidina Isa, they were involved in chemistry and biology and medicine. They were involved in medicine. So Sayyidina Isa did miracles according to that. And like that, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, when he came to his nation, they were people of the language. They were very boastful about their eloquency in Arabic. In fact, that they used to each year on the door of the Kaaba that they hold as the holiest sanctuary, they would have the poems of that year, who those poets that were actually the best, and they would hang their poetry on the Kaaba, and they were very honorable about their language. In fact, they call the non-Arabs as Ajam, which means dumb, that we can't talk, that we can't speak, because we don't know the language. So that is how they went. The Prophet ﷺ came with what miracle? The miracle of the Quran, which completely baffles any kind of Arab.
Wasn't it one of the amazing companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, who took, was it Surah Kawthar?
Yeah, Surah Kawthar to a...
And to the Kaaba. And this is the Kaaba Sharif where they would hang all these different poetries, and then people would come and admire all of this.
The story goes that there's a person who was a very well-known poet, and what his job was that someone would come with him and present three verses of poetry. And what he would do was, in reply of that, he would give three verses back straight away, there and then, three verses back of poetry. So when this companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came and he presented to that person, to that individual, Surah Kawthar, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar fasalli li rabbika wanhar inna shaniyaka huwal abtar. When he presented these three verses, that person was gobsmacked.
He said,
I can't reply back to that. Not from the tongue of a man. It's godly. It's something that's not from a human.
SubhanAllah. I mean, that challenge stayed there. The Quran challenged him time and time again. But I think the other important thing here for us to learn is this, that a lot of the times, which I think we get confused in relation to the powers that the Nabis and the Walis of Allah Azza wa Jal have, and a lot of people in their ignorance say that how can this be? But the glorious Quran and the story of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam is telling us that a Nabi of Allah Azza wa Jal has been gifted the powers. And nobody has these inherent powers, they're all blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the Nabi of Allah Azza wa Jal is creating things and blowing life into them. The Nabi of Allah Azza wa Jal is curing people with diseases which cannot be cured at the time. The Nabi of Allah Azza wa Jal is raising the dead from their graves. And the Nabi of Allah Azza wa Jal goes even beyond that. Because the people at the time, they challenged Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, saying, all this is magic. So Hazrat Isa alayhi salam said, well, I'll tell you what you've eaten at home and what you've left behind as well. And this is how amazing Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam was. And so the Nabis of Allah Azza wa Jal, we cannot in any way fully is that person who compares a Nabi of Allah Azza wa Jal or a Wali of Allah Azza wa Jal to himself, because these people are very blessed. The Nabis of Allah Azza wa Jal are so magnificent that they're beyond the comprehension. And then in the ummat of every Nabi, there are alhamdulillah Walis of Allah Azza wa Jal as well. So in the life of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, we learn that Allah Azza wa Jal blesses his Nabis as well. But coming to the life now of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, he spent a very simple life. He could have had a life of luxury. He was the Messiah, the chosen one, you know. And he lived a very, very simple and humble life. He wore very simple clothes. He had very simple habits. He had a lot of followers. I mean, even at the moment, he's got the biggest followers on the surface of the earth. And he lived a very simple lifestyle that he did. Tell me more about this amazing history.
Bidunia, a very famous muhaddith scholar, he narrates that Fudail bin Ayyad, he said that Prophet Isa was asked that, O Isa, how do you walk on the water? Allah. And said that Isa replied, with the faith of Allah and certainty. Then he said, he was asked that, but we also have this faith as well. So the person that was questioning Sayyidina Isa, he said that we also have this faith. We believe in Allah, we have this certainty as well. So then Isa alayhi salam said, come with me, let's walk onto the water. So they both walked onto the waves, and that person actually fell in and drowned. And then he said that, what happened to you? And they said that we were frightened of the waves. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam said, do not you fear the Lord of the waves. And then he took them out of the water. And then Sayyidina Isa, he stroked the ground, and he picked up some pebbles. And when he opened his hand, then pebbles actually turned into gold.
Allah.
And he picked up some more soil from the ground, and when he opened the hand, it was soil. And he said to the people that, what is the most dearest to you? And the people said, it's the gold. And Sayyidina Isa said that, for me, both are the same.
Allah.
So he had so much disinterest in the world that if there was gold and there was just soil, he would think of it as the same. And say that Isa alayhi salam, he would wear clothes made of wool, and he ate leaves and had no home.
So as children, as we were growing up, we used to hear about Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam walking on water. So that is documented.
Yeah, that is documented.
SubhanAllah,
yeah.
SubhanAllah. I'm shocked by this love for dunya that we have, and the beautiful narration that Habib I told us about, where Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is saying, gold and soil are exactly the same to me. There's that famous narration in relation to the lesson that Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam taught us, where there was he was traveling with somebody, I think.
I mean, first of all, look at the world, first of all. The ones who follow the world, how destructive it is as well. This waqia gives proof of that. And not only that, but being in the company of the Anbiya, the pious people of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the Prophets alayhi salam, and how blessingful it is as well. A man once came into the court of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, and he says to him that, I want to stay in your company so that I can acquire religious knowledge. So Hazrat Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, he gives him permission and he says to him, okay, that's fine. And so off they went, and they were traveling on a journey. And they reached a canal where Hazrat Isa alayhi salam said, let's eat. So he alayhi salam took out three pieces of bread. And after both of them had eaten one piece of bread each, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam went to drink water from the canal. In the meantime, the man hid the third piece of bread. Having returned, Hazrat Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam asked, where's the third piece of bread? And the man lied, and he replied, and he says, I don't know. So he alayhi salam, he didn't say nothing. And after a while, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam says, let's continue with the journey. On the way, they see a deer with two of its children. And he alayhi salam calls one of the fawns to him. And he alayhi salam then slaughters and roasts it. And then both of them eat it together. After they finished eating it, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, what does he do? He collects the bones together and he says, bi iznillah, yani rise from the dead with the command of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And in no time, that fawn stood up and returned to its mother running. Thereafter, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, he says to the man, I make you swear to Allah Azza wa Jalla, who has empowered me to show the miracle, tell me the truth, where is the third piece of bread? And the man replies and he says, I don't know. So he alayhi salam says, okay, let's continue with our journey. And as they walk further on, they reach a river where Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, he holds the man's hand and he continues to walk on the river, on the water, until they've crossed the river and reached the other side. So he holds the person's hand, shows him another miracle. And the first one where
he brought the dead,
the deer, they zaba karne, they eat it, and then he puts the bones together, brings it back to life. Now he's making him walk on water. And at the end of this, he turns around to the man and he says, tell me, where's the third piece of bread? And the man again turns around and he says, I don't know. So Hazrat Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam says, okay, let's continue. So as they continue to walk, they reach the desert where the Prophet Isa alayhi salam piles up some sand and says something to it. And he says, O pile of sand, turn into gold by the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. So as soon as he says this, immediately that sand that he's piled up together, it turns into gold, which he alayhi salam divides then into three parts. One part, he says, is mine, the other is yours, and the third is for the one who has taken the third piece of bread. So hearing this, you know, the person that's with Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, he turned around and he says, immediately, O Prophet of Allah alayhi salam, it was me who took the third piece of bread. Hearing this, he alayhi salam says, take all of this gold, and then he left him behind. Yani Hazrat Isa
alayhi salam. So the truth comes out because of his greed now, rather than because of seeing the miracles of the Nabi of Allah.
But what does the greed of the world, what does it do to him? So after Hazrat Isa alayhi salam leaves, what happens to this guy? What he does is he wraps the gold into his shawl and he continues on his own journey. On the way, he comes across two of the men, yani in the desert. And these two people, they notice that he's got gold in his shawl. So they make an intention that they're going to kill him and they're going to, you know, steal his gold basically. So what did they do is they sit down and the guy who has the gold, he suggests that the gold be divided in three parts and distributed to them equally, because he realizes they're going to kill him. So satisfied, the other two men, they say, okay, one of us should go to the nearby city and with this gold and buy some food so that we can enjoy a luscious meal and distribute the gold afterwards. So one of them goes out and buys the food, overpowered by his greed, yani the one who goes to get the food, what does he do? He puts poison in the food, and with the intention that he's going to kill the other two guys
and
he's going to have all the gold, no three parts, it's all mine. And on the other hand, whilst he's away going to get the food, the other two that are still there, they make a plan.
One of them is the one who sets off with Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, and one is Urwa.
Yeah, and they make this plan that the one that's gone away, yani greed's overtaken them as well. And they're saying, the guy that's gone away, you know, why should we share with him? We'll split it between those two and we'll forget him. So they make a plan to kill this guy when he comes back. So what happens? When he brings the food back, they kill him, attack him, kill him, they eat the food. What's in the food?
Allah!
Poison in the food. So they're all, as a result of their greed,
They kill him, they sit down to eat the food, the food's got poison in it, both of them die.
Yeah.
So all over the gold, and the gold is still lying
there.
Allah.
And all three of them have passed away. Then the Prophet Isa alayhi salam, he returns along with his Hawaris, his companions, and he comes across these dead bodies. And he alayhi salam points at the gold and the bodies of the three men and he says, see, this is the reality of the world and it's obligatory for you to stay away from it, because look at the sins that this dunya has made people commit. Yani you become so lost in the world, greed overtakes you. This is how greed is such a a bad thing, that it can affect you to that extent that unfortunately it leads you to committing, like in this case, murder even.
When you lose sense, you lose track of everything. Money and status and wealth and cars and houses become the ultimate goal for you, and you don't realize that it's a dark and lonely grave you're going into. I mean, we were having this conversation earlier today and with a brother, and we were talking about somebody who's a multi-billionaire, but what he was saying was he's opening these new businesses. And I said to myself, why would a multi-billionaire be opening these new businesses? And he said it's just greed. And you know, multi-billionaire basically means that if your generations, the next 15 generations didn't work and just skived off, you still wouldn't, you know, spend the money. And yet the greed of the world is such that no matter how much money you've got, you always want. When it comes back to the Hadith of Mubarak, I think we quoted last week, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if the son of Adam had one mountain of gold, he would want a second one. Allahu Akbar. And the greed, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam's miracles and what he taught us, he lived an exemplary life, because he kept himself away from anything to do with this world. There's a Hadith of Mubarak in Abu Dawood Sharif that the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, there is no Nabi between me and Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. He will descend from the heavens near the Day of Judgment. When you see him, you will recognize him. His complexion will be fair, height will be medium. He will be bearing two light yellow robes. His hair will be dry, but it will seem as though drops of water are dripping from his head. He will kill the swine. All religious religions except Islam will be eliminated by Allah Azza wa Jal in his age. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam will kill the Dajjal. He alayhi salam will pass away after living on the earth for 40 years, and Muslims will offer his funeral prayers. So Hazrat Isa alayhi salam will come back. So I think before we go there, Hazrat Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam lived a beautiful life, but then his departure from this world was something amazing as well, because normally Hazrat Israel alayhi salam comes and they take the soul, and then a person is put into their graves, and that has happened with all the Anbiya Ikram, including the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, who was asked by Allah, that the angel came, and then Jibreel Amin came, and Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told that Allah says, Mahbub, you can have as long as you want, but Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more inclined with the will of Allah and said, what does my Lord want? And so we know that everybody goes through this, but Hazrat Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam at that time in his first era didn't actually die in the normal way. What happened, Habib? Help us.
So basically,
he didn't die at all, actually.
He didn't die at all, no. He was actually raised to the skies. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He describes this in the Holy Quran as well. And what actually happened was when the Jews were about to crucify him, they came looking and they went to the house. And instead of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, they got someone else instead. And Ibn Jarir, he narrates that Wahab bin Munabbih, he says that when Isa Islam came along with his 17 disciples to the house, the police came and surrounded the house. However, when they entered the house, Allah put the likeness of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam on all of those who were in there. So they all looked like Sayyidina Isa. They were confused and said, you have bewitched us. Either Isa come to us or we will kill you. Isa Islam said to his companions that who can buy today a palace in Jannah? A man said that I, and went out claiming that I am Jesus. They took him and crucified him. And so they were deluded in their belief that they had killed Jesus, which was Isa Islam. And so in today's day and age, it is known that he was crucified on the cross, when in fact the story behind this was, as I just mentioned, that they were deluded, and the people of that time, they crucified someone other than Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam.
And the glorious Quran tells us that. Quran very clearly says that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was raised into the heavens and has remained there. And on the blessed night of Mi'raj as well, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam as well. And we know that, so at this stage, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, after their miraculous birth, was raised up without having their soul taken. But this hadith of Mubarakah that I read shows that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam will return. And there is another hadith of Mubarakah, Habibai, which you're going to help us with, Sahih Muslim Sharif. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Allah Azza wa Jal sends Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, he will descend on the eastern white minaret of Jamia Masjid Damascus wearing two light yellow robes and will be resting his hands on the arms of the angels. When he, alayhi salam, will lower his head, the drops of water will be dripping, and when he will raise his head, white silver beads resembling pearls will be dropping off. So Hazrat Isa alayhi salam has been raised into the heavens alive. He is there, no doubt, in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. He will then descend, and this is one of the signs of
and
judgment.
It's mentioned that every eye will see his descending. And it's also been mentioned regarding this, that the angels that are going to be on the sides of Sayyidina Isa when he comes down from the sky, they will be wearing the imama of the color of green. Subhanallah. And the minaret that Sayyidina Isa Islam would come down onto, the Jami' Masjid in Damascus, in Syria, that minaret in today's day and age, right now, if you go there, they've actually board that off, and it's actually got electric fencing there. So even if someone wants to claim that I am Isa and he comes and goes onto that minaret, he's not going to remain alive. So that is khasiyah, the speciality of Sayyidina Isa, that he will descend on that minaret.
We've got this amazing kind of personality who is raised up into the heavens alive. So they were raised, Hazrat Idris al-Islam was raised alive, live up into the heavens, while he was still alive. And then Sayyidina Khizr al-Islam and Sayyidina Ilyas al-Islam are on the earth. What do they do?
It's mentioned that they actually partake every year in Hajj.
SubhanAllah.
And Sayyidina Khizr al-Islam, it said that he meets many of the pious people of Allah.
The valleys of Allah.
The valleys of Allah. There's also hadith where he met the Prophet himself as well. And it's a beautiful point. It's mentioned that to remember the name of Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam, his full name, that will give you death with Iman as well.
Abu al-Abbas Balya bin Malkan al-Khidr.
SubhanAllah.
SubhanAllah.
These are the blessings of traveling on the Madni Kafila.
SubhanAllah. Give us that again.
Abu al-Abbas Balya bin Malkan al-Khidr.
SubhanAllah.
And the reason why he was called al-Khidr was, which means
green.
One of the interpretations was that wherever he used to go, there used to be green regrowing.
SubhanAllah, through the barakat and the blessing. And
they drank from the water, Abi Hayat. Ke anbiya ko ajal aani hai, magar faqat aani hai. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are going to die, but only for a moment, and then they will be back to life.
So I assume that, I mean, in the glorious ayat of the amazing Quran that Bisharat Bhai read, Surah Maryam Sharif, verse 30, it says, and peace be upon me the day I was born. That's an interesting concept as well, because a lot of people, they have this misconception, you can't celebrate birthdays, but Hazrat Isa alayhi salam himself is saying, peace be upon me on the day of my birthday. He's celebrating his birthday, and he's saying, Allah Azza wa Jal's blessings be upon me. So this is the glorious Quran that's quoting it. So anybody who's got this half-baked concept of you can't have birthdays, read the Quran. But more than importantly, moving on, and the day I shall taste death. And I assume then, obviously, because Hazrat Isa alayhi salam has been raised up into the heavens alive, he will come back into the earth, he will live a normal life, and then he will eventually die. And when he comes back, because it's the era of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will he come back as a khalifa of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because he doesn't come back as a prophet, does he?
His prophethood still remains, but he won't be classified as a new prophet. He'll be endorsing the Sharia of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
So would it be fair for me to say he comes back in the Sharia of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam as an ummati of Nabi Kareem?
SubhanAllah. He actually made this dua.
His dua accepted in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, because he will return to be an ummati of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. SubhanAllah.
We say so much about us being the ummatis of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that how blessed and fortunate we are, that even the prophets of the previous nations made the dua that may they be blessed to be part of this ummah.
What's this Dabbatul Ard? What does it mean literally?
Dabbatul Ard is the animal of the earth.
Animal of the earth. I'm going to tease everybody, because I'm going to leave you right there. So it means animal of the earth.
From the pious predecessors, we have certain things, the barukat. And alhamdulillah, this Dabbatul Ard that will come forth, it will have some tabarukats.
Relics.
It'll have some relics of the prophets.
Prophets, alayhi salam. So
we
look forward to that.
Now we come to the end of this section today. We've learnt a lot about the great Prophet of Allah, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us the right aqaid, because in the life of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, there are some great lessons. We have to move on to our social issue. But an amazing and fascinating life of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. Salu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here. Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here, and what you are after, and what you are after.
Now, our social issue of today is a very, very important one for us to learn about. And I will describe it to you so that you can all relate to it, because it's something we can all relate to. It's late afternoon, it's evening, you've finished work, you've got other things on, you've got a heavy mind, you've had a long day at work. So what do? You turn on the television, or you flick through on your phone, and you start to watch anything and everything that's on television. You flick the channels, and what you do is you binge watch. Now, the definition of binge watching essentially is the practice of watching anything that you can find for long spans of time, and you're not there for a particular purpose, you're not watching anything particularly, and every night this society has developed a habit of binge watching. Now, as well as wasting valuable time, you know, a lot of people, when you speak to them, you ask them whether you read the Quran this week, and they say, I haven't got time yet. They haven't got 5 minutes to read the Quran every day. But if you ask them how much time, the average person is spending at least 2 hours at night, if not more, watching television. And sometimes you wonder, what is there on there? I mean, now we're in the era of, you know, multi-channels and TV on demand. But people are still just binge watching, just sit there and watch something for the sake of watching it. And after the 2 hours have gone, they think, what a waste of time that is. But the next night they'll do it again. And it's kind of a trap that the shaitan leads us into. There were surveys conducted where, on the definition of binge watching, 73% of people who are watching TV are binge watching, and sometimes they go on to these TV shows and these dramas, etc., and they watch between 2 and 6 episodes in one sitting. That's like hours of TV in one sitting. And, you know, because there's so much to watch, binge watching now has become a cultural phenomena where people's lives have now gone from reality. You know, you went out, you went to the park, you had relatives, you went to see them and everything else. Life has gone from there to now, your entire life evolves around TV and social media on the phone, and that's it. And it's all binge watching. And I didn't know till just a few months ago, you know, on platforms, social media platforms, a lot of them have these series of videos. You watch one and the next one comes over, and people are just sat there for hours on end just watching video after video after video.
Also, I mean, I wanted to mention here that there's a generation thing as well. So, you know, in our time, Arun Bhai, it was slightly different. Obviously, now you're moving on. We're coming into generations now where children, unfortunately, even when it's time to eat, they're not eating their food unless they've got something like a tablet or something in front of them to keep them occupied, and the parents are saying, right, hold this in your hand, and feeding them at the time whilst they're watching these tablets. Why? Because even at a very tender and young age, that these children, unfortunately, are glued into this, hooked into this binge watching. And they've got to have this, this social media element or something in front of them
the parents
to keep their mind occupied, because if they don't, then unfortunately...
It's interesting you say that, because one person said to me, Oji, bachcha roti nahi khana, he won't eat. And this way, if I've got a tablet or a phone in front of him, he will eat a full chapati, And, you know, talking about 6-7-year-olds. And I said, you know, instead of this, I mean, there's not, at that age, they're not watching anything wrong, but it's the whole concept of it. Because what happens, Abdul Habib, is this, you know, as they get older, if somebody's used to spending 4 hours on this tablet when they're young, playing games, for example, as they get older, they will grow out of the games, but they'll still be in the habit of spending 4 hours on this. And that 4 hours then means that they're looking at all sorts. You were going to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say that if the parents use that as an excuse just for them to, you know, be occupied so they eat and, you know, they can get their work done. And the parents need to adopt certain strategies to work around this, that not always give the child whatever they want. And, you know, children nowadays have become very stubborn, that they have to have this and they have to have that. I want this, I'm going to have that. And the parents, they just don't like the hassle of, you know, reprimanding the child or giving him that upbringing. So they just look at easy ways around that.
I know you mentioned earlier on about, like, when was the last time, for example, we had the time to open up the Quran Sharif and recite it. A lot of the time is we've programmed ourselves that, you know, when it comes to reciting the Quran and the importance of time, it's just during the month of Ramadan.
Mm.
And during the month of Ramadan, everything gets put away. Yeah. Mm. And during that 1 month of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, which is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, everything gets put away and we recite the Holy Quran and become practicing Muslims. But the other 11 months, you know, we learned from our pious predecessors was preparation for that month of Ramadan.
Let me turn it around, because there's a lot of people probably watching who are saying, well, what's wrong with watching television if I'm not watching the wrong thing? What's wrong with watching television if it saves me from, you know, going out or something? I mean, what is the danger here? What is the sat in front of the TV a couple of hours, 3-4 hours every night? What's the danger?
Becoming addictive. You'll end up becoming addictive and having the tablet, the mobile phone in front of you. And first of all, you'll think, you know, I'm not watching anything harmful. Slowly, as the Prophet ﷺ said, that the shaitan runs through the blood of the humans. So you will start to watch other things. Something out might pop up at the bottom. Watch this. It might incite you to watch it. You'll click on it, and that's when it will open the doors of sins.
I mean, how many times
you mentioned a journey of yours once as well, where you were speaking to somebody.
I was just coming to that, because what it is slippery. So I was in Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, I had the honor and the privilege of being on Umrah, and I was traveling from Makkatul Makarma to Madinatul Munawwara, and the taxi driver was a brother, and I saw that I still remember it was only a few years ago, and he had his phone near where the gear stick is, and it was an old phone, not a smartphone, with a little screen. And so we stopped, and I was a bit baffled. I thought, I've never seen somebody with, like, so I said to him, you know, don't you have a smartphone? And he said, I did have, but I threw it away, I got rid of it. So I said, why? And he opened up to me, and it probably because he knew he was never going to see me again, I was never going to see him again, so he thought, you know, I'll open up to him. So what he said was, he said, people introduced me to social media and these various platforms that you have, and I initially, I was looking at Tilawat on these platforms, and I used to scroll down, find the Tilawat videos and listen to them. I really found it great. I was a taxi driver, so I spent a lot of time in car. Then I started to listen to different things and nuts and this and that, and then what had happened is that I used to, in the evenings especially, I used to go through the various pages, and I used to go through pretending that I'm looking for the Tilawat, but at the same time, when I saw the other videos with the semi-naked women, I was flicking through them, pretending I'm not really looking at them, but really, my nafs was getting taskeen from it, and it really opened up to me, you know, he goes, my nafs was getting taskeen, but I was deceiving myself. So I was like, no, I'm here. And then gradually I started to watch neutral videos. So not videos with the wrong thing on. It was just like, you know, somebody's fixing a mechanic, fixing a car or doing body work or this and that. So I watched those for a bit. So gradually I've gone from the Quran to, you know, and I'm now watching neutral videos, and then I'm watching funny videos. And then gradually the shaitan deceived me and I got onto the wrong stuff. And I started to corrupt my mind. And then every night I would be working during the day. And obviously it's another type of thing. And this is a person who's working in Makkatul Makarama and Madinatul Munawwara, you know. And he goes, every day, during the day, I couldn't do this at work because obviously I'm driving. So I would look forward to going home at night. And once I'd got home all right, have my meal and everything else, and then I would stay there for hours going through all this filth and everything else. And he goes, it corrupted my soul. And then alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala gave me the tawfiq to do tawbah, and I brought myself back. I threw the phone away, and now I keep this. I've got no access to anything. And it really made me think that, you know, a lot of us, we think binge watching is just watching, but actually you are on that slippery slope of the shaitan, where now he can take you wherever he wants.
I mean, what you mentioned there is like a self-accountability, isn't it? Self-accountability, where everything comes down to me and you know, how I look at my actions, and things like, for example, watching something, is it benefiting me in the hereafter, after I pass away, or am I just killing time? And you know, if we be honest with ourselves, we don't have time in terms of all the real things that we've been, for example, created for. Allah Ta'ala has created us in this world, why? To worship Him.
The biggest complaint we have is, I haven't got time for anything. You know, we said to somebody, why don't you serve your parents? Oh, you time nahi hai. Why don't you read namaz? Time nahi hai. Why don't you go to the mosque? Time nahi hai. Why don't you read the Quran? Time nahi hai. Why don't you learn the hadith? Time nahi hai. Why don't you travel in the Madni Kafas? I've got no time. Every time it's anything to do with deen or anything, bettering yourself, I've got no time. And yet, the average person spends 2 hours a day browsing the net and 2 hours a day in front of the television. That's 28 hours. That's like, you know, almost a working day is 3 days, isn't it?
Yeah.
A work is 3 days. And yet you spend this, and then you convince yourself. And isn't that a waswasa of the shaitan as well?
Definitely, it is a big waswasa of the shaitan. Something that we need to, look into is the value of time and also making a schedule that can deal with these kind of addictions and these binge watching and all this kind of dilemma that we're in. And like you mentioned in the story, that the person, he got rid of the thing that he was watching, the mobile phone. So first of all, try to remove them, or at least keep a limit. Limit yourself that I'm only going to use my mobile phone or watch the TV for this certain amount of time in a day. And then slowly, slowly reduce that. And make yourself a strict schedule that you're going to follow every single day. I'm going to wake up at this time, go to sleep at this time, go to work at that time, eat food at this time. I'm going to do my own self. You can put in exercise. Have certain kind of hobbies that you do as well, permissible hobbies that you can do, and get out of the house. Obviously with COVID protection and everything, and make yourself not just watching the TV screen all the time, and make yourself a bit more productive and efficient.
I mean, another point that's important here is this. If I, you know, say to my kids, you can't binge watch, but I'm doing the same thing, then it's not going to have an impact, is it?
No.
And to really do it, you've got to control. And a lot of people, they don't control, you know, these days, the computers, the laptops, the iPads, the tablets are in the bedroom. And there's the Wi-Fi running throughout the house. Now, is that a wise thing to allow your children to binge watch in the privacy of their own bedroom?
Definitely not. Definitely not. Probably one of the most dangerous things as a parent you could allow your children to do. Many households might be indulged in where you got the kids, the babies, they're watching TV, watching kids' cartoon. You got the teenagers, they're on the phone, Snapchatting and doing all these kind of things. You got the parents, they're on YouTube or on Facebook, and they're indulging. Everyone's on their own phone, and the parents think of it as an ease, that they got a relaxation, that the kids are doing. They're just on the tablet, and I'm doing my thing. But if we carry on doing this, it's going to end up causing drift within our own families. And, you know, people, the stories that we have regarding this as well. Something that I would like to request the parents is that do not just let your child watch the TV screen and watch, you know, the cartoons and think that you've got you're off the hook and, you know, you've let them do what they do. Give time to them. That is what is important, to move the electronics away and sit down with them, get a book, read to them, make them read, give them something that they can learn. Even, for example, drawing, give them time, help
them
draw.
Interact with them.
And not just give them the mobile phone and think that they're quiet, they're watching the mobile phone, I've got peace of mind. So that's something that we need to get away from.
Well, you might have peace of mind temporarily, but it will come back to haunt you.
Definitely.
And the one thing that I've learned is this, that, you know, a lot of the times, we get angry, Bishara Dubai, or we get very possessive or have exercise our authority on the wrong things. You know, bacha glass pani shows, he will get up and will say, how dare you, or but kids do something. But when it's the real things, we're scared. Don't be. I've tried different things in my household to try and control. And the only reason I say this is maybe other brothers, it may help. And because of kind of lockdown and everything, kids are spending a lot of time at home. So what I've done is I've allocated times. You can't just lock them up totally and say, right, they can't do this. But so what I do is I get up in the morning and alhamdulillah, I just log into the router and I turn the internet off.
Brilliant.
My computer that I use for work, I've got a direct connection anyway, so because I need fast internet. So I log into the router and turn it off. So I've been doing this for months here. For the first few days, I was like, internet's off. And I'm not going to lie to them saying this, yeah, I've turned it off. Why? Because I felt like it, you know. So I set the scene. 1 or 2 days, it was like, why is the internet off? After 3 or 4 days, I got used to it. And they go, right. So I said, right, now you, on the weekend, you will get this, but not in the privacy of any room or anything else. You sit in the main room and watch what you want. We've got a nice big TV screen. Watch what you want. Or, you know, you do it on this. And the other thing that I've done is this. Because one of the areas is kind of, say, one of the social media sites, YouTube. I've got an account that they can use, but as soon as they log in on any device, I know straight away
they've logged in
and what they're watching straight away.
History, yeah.
And if anybody logs out of my account, it tells me that they've logged out, and I'll say, why? I'll take it off them. So you've got to do that actively. So in our house, during the week, there's nothing. It's school, it's madrasa, it's the evening time, we spend some time together. Time you get on, and by the time they finish madrasa, they come home, the roti time, school books, and then it's sleeping time. In the weekend, you give them certain slots, give them time, and that's it. And they know that, yes, this is there, but there's no binge playing, there's no binge watching. I mean, even on their games consoles, they know that one of the things I dislike is somebody to stay on there for more than a couple of hours. If they stay on a couple of hours, they know that next day they're not going to be allowed. So they'll come to you and they'll say, right, I've done my 2 hours today. Can I go on tomorrow? Yeah, okay, you can go on tomorrow. So it's only weekends as well.
We've been speaking about the children. I think even the parents, they need to be looked at as well. You know, husband and wife, both of them are on the phone. She's on her phone. The husband on her phone, they're not interacting with each other, they're not giving time to each other. And then a few months down the line, a few years down the line, fights, break up, then divorce, and all these kind of things happen, and then it creates a big...
I mean, in terms of here, there's the importance of time in giving each other time, but there's also valuing that time. There's a hadith of Mubarakah where the Prophet ﷺ says, value 5 things before 5 other things.
Allah.
One is youth before old age. 2 is your health before illness. 3 is wealth before poverty. 4 is leisure, yani having leisure time before becoming busy. And the 5th one is life before death.
SubhanAllah.
Look at the hikmat in these. That, you know, we've been told, have qadr for your youth before you become an old person. Have qadr for your health before you become ill. Have qadr for the wealth before you become poor. And leisure time before becoming busy. And, you know, the free time that you have, this is also, you know, a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Use it wisely, because if you're wasting it, who knows if you're going to get that time back.
You know, just from those words, one thing that a lot of us, especially those who like reading, they want a book full of wisdom, or they want some pearls of wisdom and all this, and sometimes they go onto the internet. You know, there are no better pearls of wisdom than the sayings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had this gift of Allah azza wa jalla, that the few words that Akka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but they carried such amazing meanings and depth, that you know the 5 things that you've just said, that people could write volumes of books on. But look at the best of creation, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To sum all of that up in those few words is truly a miracle of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nobody else has that power, and that really encompasses. I mean, I was just sat there mesmerized by the comparisons that
Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, that. And Allah mentioned in the Quran as well that وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ, he does not speak from his own desires or from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another point I want to just add before we move on is, the successful people, they always have a strict regime and a schedule that they abide by, and their full life is according to that as well. Mm-hmm. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as being the best of people, the most successful person, the most successful man in the world, is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you see his schedule and how his lifestyle was, he set time for everything. He set time for his companions, he set time for his blessed wives, he set time for his children, he set time for the deen, he set time for himself as well, self-ibadah. That is something that we forget. We think about, we need to give time to that person, give time to this, give time to that, but we also need to concentrate on ourselves as well. Try to give yourself a bit of time as well. And, self-ibadah, worship, And tilawat of the Holy Quran, these kind of things should be included in your schedule as well.
There are fortunate people, Bishad Bhai Habib Bhai, where, you know, during the lockdowns and everything else, there was one brother who read Sirat al-Jinan Sharif three times. Three times, subhanAllah.
Just mention, how big is Sirat al-Jinan?
10 volumes.
10 volumes, and each volume is quite thick as well.
And he read it three times. Now, this is the fortunate people. They didn't sit there 2 hours on end. And a lot of people, they waste so much time, yeah, and they don't control themselves. And the danger, the reason we wanted to cover this topic, and I haven't got time, I'm running out of time, but I'm going to very briefly show you the dangers of this. You'll have heard of that very famous waqia, the very pious man in Bani Israel. And near him, there were some brothers who wanted to go on jihad, and they had a sister. Mm-hmm. And they had nowhere to leave their sister. So they came to this pious man and they said, well, we want to leave our sister with you while we go away. And this was all of us who served the shaitan. The shaitan had done this to get this pious man to where he wanted to. So he said no, they insisted. He said yes, but she stays there, I give her food. He then used to give her food, and then the shaitan said, why are you making her go there? Why don't you go in and ask her? And it was a long story. And he eventually started to go in, and he developed a relationship with her. And then there was the result of that. A child was born. He then murdered the child. He then murdered the woman. And then he buried them and told the brothers that she'd left or whatever happened. And then eventually the king of the time, because he got convicted of this murder, the king of the time put him on the death row and he was about to be hanged. And the shaitan came to him and said, look, I can save you from this as well. I can save you from this. And he said, all I want you to do is renounce the fact, accept me as your God, basically, and deny Allah Azza wa Jal. And he thought, well, I'll do that. And he did that. And as soon as he did that, they pulled the rope and he deceived him. Now, binge watching really can be compared to that. Whereas there's a pious man of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he wants to stay away from everything, but that little drop. Now, when you sit down in the evening to just watch, flick through the channels, what if there's something on there that corrupts your mind? You start to watch the filth, and then night after night after night. And not everybody, Habibay, is lucky like that brother who had the barakat of Makkah and Medina, maybe. The Makkah and Medina, and that brother, Allah Azza wa Jal blessed, and he pulled himself out. Maybe it's a slippery slope for you, and the shaitan will really damage you. So the thing is, binge watching and this just sitting there for no reason, hours on end, use that time wisely. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect us from this evil. Amir al-Sunnah has written a beautiful book on the destructions of television. Do read it. You can download it free on dawatislami.net. We're going to move to our last section. We've only got a few minutes left. Salu alil Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here. Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here, and what you are after, and what you are after.
A beautiful hadith mubarakah from Sahih Bukhari Sharif. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Hisham radiallahu ta'ala says that we were sitting in the beautiful and blessed company of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala was being particularly blessed because Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was holding the hand of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. And Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala said, O Prophet of Rahmat, intercessor of the Ummah, you are dearer to me than everything except my own self. Now this was the honesty, the integrity, the dignity, and the great truth of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. You sat with the best of creation. He does a muhasabah, he does an analysis of his thoughts, his mind, his being. And he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in essence, you are more beloved to me than my children, than my wealth, than my status, everything. I love you more. But at that moment in time, the honesty was that I love my own self more than you. And this was the deep depth of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. The beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, by him in whose hands my soul is, you will not have complete love till I am dearer to you than your own self. Allahu Akbar. At this, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, the great, this amazing personality, he immediately delves in deep into the soul and he replies, Ki Ya Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I swear by Allah Almighty, you are dearer to me than myself now. So he immediately corrects that as well and says, Ya Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are dearer. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, now, O Umar, your love is perfect. And do you want to see where that perfect love really came to blossom? Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala is with some companions and they're passing through Wadi Tahama. And suddenly, Hazrat Umar Farooq, Amirul Mu'mineen at the time, ruling 2.25 million square miles, he starts to cry. And they ask him, why are you crying? And he says, it was this very desert where my father beat me. Why? Because I was the son of an Arab and I was trying to line up camels and I couldn't line up five camels in a row. And when I lined up the first one, the back one moved out. And when I lined up the back one, the first one moved out. And my father beat me saying, how dare you? You're the son of an Arab and you cannot line up five camels. Look at what the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has done to me. Because today, Muslims are ruling 2.25 million square miles and everybody is stood in beautiful straight rows. He said, he didn't attribute that to himself. He said, this is the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear Islamic brothers, everything else aside, what we need for success in this world is love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If that love is in your heart, and whenever you have a problem, you read Durood-e Pak and look towards Medina, you will never face any calamity, but that you will get help from the best of creation. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen, bijahin nabil ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here. Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here and what you are after.